Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you, we praise you for your word and for the way in which your word speaks to our hearts and to our minds. Father, we ask that you open our hearts and our minds now by your powerful Holy Spirit. Draw us close to you. Help us to hear what you would like each of us to hear this morning. For we ask and we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Scripture reading this morning is 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 24. Please stand in honor of God's word. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A man was trying to read a serious book, but his little boy kept interrupting him. He would lean against his knees and say, "Daddy, I love you." The father would give him a pat and rather absently, "Yes, son, I love you too." And he would kind of give him a little push away so he could keep on reading. But the little boy wasn't satisfied, and finally he ran to his father and said, "I love you, Daddy." And he jumped up on his lap and threw his arms around him and gave him a big squeeze, explaining, "And I've just got to do something about it." As we grow in love, we aren't content with just lip service. We want to see it in action. Do something about it. That little boy exemplified what 1 John 3:18 is saying. Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. Any of us can say we love someone. If it is genuine, it is reflected in action. John is writing this epistle to several Gentile congregations. They've been exposed to false teaching regarding the nature of sin and the commandment of love. So John makes it clear in the previous verses about the nature of sin, and in these verses today, he clarifies what love is. A 10-year-old boy was failing in math, and his parents did everything. They hired tutors, and finally, the last option was to send him to a Catholic school. Right on the first day of school, he began to spend every night poring over his books. When the first report card came back, he had an A for math. So the parents were curious as to what made the difference. Was it the nuns? Was it the textbooks? And the boy said, "Well, I never took math seriously, but the first day I walked into math class, I saw this guy nailed to a plus sign. And I knew they meant business." Jesus Christ meant business. In verse 16, it says, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us." Jesus combined in his ministry what he said and what he did. Jesus just didn't say to his disciples that he would suffer and die. He suffered and died. Jesus didn't say, "I am the resurrection and the life," to Martha upon the death of her brother Lazarus. He truly was resurrected and is the life. Throughout his earthly ministry, Jesus not only spoke of love, he demonstrated it in healing the sick, in showing compassion, in rebuking evil spirits, in associating with the outcast and the downcast, in comforting others, in his relationship with children, but foremost, in dying on the cross for our sins. During the 17th century, Oliver Cromwell, Lord Protector of England, sentenced a soldier to be shot for his crimes. The execution was to take place at the ringing of the evening curfew bell. However, the bell did not sound. The soldier's fiancée had climbed into the belfry and clung to the great clapper of the bell to prevent it from striking. When she was summoned by Cromwell to account for her actions, she wept as she showed him her bruised and bleeding hands. Cromwell's heart was so touched, he said, "Your lover shall live because of your sacrifice. Curfew shall not ring tonight." Because of the great sacrifice Jesus Christ made for you and me, there is no curfew. There is no curfew, no spiritual death, but life eternal. The evidence of his love within us is shown how we love others. The scripture tells us this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? You see, it's more than lip service. If we say we love Jesus, then actions must be produced. Real love is an action, not a feeling or just words, for it produces selfless, sacrificial giving. Bud was a factory worker with more than a slight resemblance to Archie Bunker, and every single day he'd come home sweaty and dirty. He'd go in the back door, grab a beer from the fridge, plop down in front of the TV, much like Archie Bunker used to do on All in the Family, until his wife brought him his supper. One day he was driving to work and he happened to hear a Christian psychologist on the radio. And something the commentator said stuck in his mind, that being that love and marriage are about sacrifice. And it hit him. It not only hit him, it convicted him that he'd been expecting his wife to sacrifice for him, but he never really sacrificed for her. It was as though a relational light bulb had come on, and he knew that he had to do something about it. So he decided that he was going to surprise her the next day. Before coming home, he showered and shaved. He went to the florist and bought some flowers, and instead of going in through the back door, he went to the front door and rang the bell. When she answered the door, he held out the flowers and said, "Honey, they're for you. I love you." She looked at him, her mouth dropped open. Tears filled her eyes, and she said, "I've had a terrible day. Billy broke his leg, and I had to take him to the hospital. No sooner had I got home than the phone rang. It was your mother, and she's coming to visit for 2 weeks. I tried to do the wash, but the machine broke and there's water all over the basement floor. And now you have come home drunk." It may have come as a real shock to the woman, that her husband would show acts of love. But it should not be a shock or out of the ordinary for a believer in Jesus Christ to show acts of love. It should actually be free-flowing out of the love that we have received from Jesus Christ. When he died on that cross and our sins are forgiven and we are granted eternal life through faith in him, newness of life each day, forgiveness of our sins, out of that great gift of love should flow, overflow, acts of love. We love out of obedience to Jesus' command. We love not out of selfish motives. What am I going to get out of this? We love with a compassionate heart. We love not only when it's convenient, but at times when it is very inconvenient. In 1975, a child named Raymond Dunn Jr. was born in New York State. And the Associated Press reports that at his birth, a skull fracture and oxygen deprivation caused severe retardation. As Raymond grew, the family discovered further impairments. His twisted body suffered up to 20 seizures per day. He was blind, mute, immobile. He had severe allergies that limited him to only one food, a meat-based formula made by Gerber Foods. In 1985, Gerber stopped making the formula that Raymond lived on. Carol Dunn scoured the country to buy what stores had in stock, accumulating cases and cases. But in 1990, her supply ran out. In desperation, she appealed to Gerber for help. Without this particular food, Raymond would starve to death. The employees of the company listened. In an unprecedented action, volunteers donated hundreds of hours to bring out old equipment, set up production lines, obtain special approval from the USDA, and produce the formula, all for one special boy. In January 1995, Raymond Dunn Jr., known as the Gerber Boy, died from his physical problems. But during his brief lifetime, he called forth a wonderful thing called compassion and love. So we must ask ourselves, how well do I show in action Jesus' love to others? Now maybe you're saying, well, I just love everyone. Well, maybe we could look at some situations and see how we might respond. How much easier is it for us to argue and complain about our political opponents, whether they be in Plain City or in our nation's capital, than to love them and to pray for them? How much easier is it for us to take a stand against abortion than taking care of a woman with a problem pregnancy? How much easier is it for us to write a check for a homeless shelter or give money to a homeless person on the street than spending an evening at a shelter serving food or stopping and taking the homeless man to lunch and talking to him face to face? How much easier is it for us to wave hi to new neighbors than inviting them into our home for dinner to really get to know them? How much easier is it for us to talk about the person who gets under our skin at work, in our family, or maybe even at church, roll our eyes or mutter under our breath or totally ignore them rather than praying for him or her and spending time with the person and loving him or her for who he or she is? You see, it's more than lip service to say, we love Jesus. It has to result in actions in our lives. Jesus said it in words like these, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly, I tell you, what you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. The beauty of it is when we receive the love and when we give the love, we see more and more of Jesus. It's a give and a take. And you know, I know people that are so good at giving love, but oh my, when somebody does an act of kindness for them, they almost refuse it and act like that. You know, that's part of the giving and the receiving of Jesus' love. When someone does something for you out of the love of Jesus, receive it graciously. Say thank you. Say that made my day, because when you have given that love to others, you know how much that makes you feel so good inside. And so be receptive when someone gives that love to you. I want to close with a story that happened in Shadyside years ago. Many of you know Carol Burkhart, whose husband Jack died a year ago, and she's comes here and visits and hopes to move here soon. Hopefully this summer, the senior citizen place will open up a place for her. But Carol and Jack were very instrumental in an after-school program that we had in Shadyside. We had children come after school. The school bus brought them to the church, and we fed them a hot meal every week. And we not only fed them a hot meal, but we helped them with their homework, and then we did a Christian education hour with them. So we had them there for about 3 hours. Well, we had one particular girl in that program. Actually, we had the whole family. We had the girl, we had her brother, and we had her little brother. And when we had this particular girl, she kind of struggled in first grade, you know, was kind of crying a lot. And Carol and Jack were very instrumental. They went shopping for all the food. They set up all the tables every single week. Jack helped in the kitchen. Carol helped in the kitchen and in the classroom. And towards the end, after dinner was over, Jack would clean up the fellowship hall, and then he would sit in the fellowship hall basically to keep watch on the classroom doors to make sure nobody, when they came out, went running around in the church, but they went into the bathroom and went back to the room. So he would sit in the fellowship hall, and he had an eye on the hallway that he watched. That was part of his job. He also greeted the kids when the bus pulled up. He would go out and greet the kids. And so the kids really knew Jack. He, you know, helped them serve the food when they ate. He met them at the bus. And then he sat there and he kind of watched them. And there was this one particular girl and her two brothers that were in the program. The girl, as I said, she struggled initially, but she kind of got, you know, accustomed to coming there. And we, a lot of times we had first graders that kind of were teary, and it was a strange situation at first, but then they really kind of grew to love the program and the people that worked there. Well, this particular girl, her dad would come in, and they had this little baby, and he would come in and pick them up after school, the girl and her brother. Well, several years later, the older brother was out of the program, but the girl was about in, we had it first through third grade. She must have been around third grade. And there was a terrible accident with her father. He saw a log in the street. He was driving, and he thought, that's really going to cause an accident. So he got out of his car to move the log, and a truck came by and ran over him. It's a tragic, tragic story. And we had this little girl now in the program, and her father has died. And she looked at Jack, and she said, "I guess you'll have to be my dad now." And her mother would come and pick her up then, but her mother waited outside, and so Jack would escort her to the door and make sure she got in her mother's car, because the parents were supposed to come in, but that was a particular situation where the mother was not able physically, so Jack would make sure she went to the door. Many, many years later, as an adult, she's working now in a fast food particular place. Anytime she saw Jack, she would run up and hug him. You know, I've thought about that story so many times. It could bring tears to my eyes, because I felt if there was one thing we ever did in that after-school program that was right, it was that love was shown to those children. And that child knew, and she gave back the love to Jack. That warmed his heart. You know, when we give and when we receive love in return, that's what Jesus intends for his people. Verse 18 tells us, "Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth." Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you, we praise you for the great, great gift of love that you gave to us in Jesus. Oh, Lord, help every day of our lives, help us to be filled with your love, that it overflows to others. Help us, Lord, to not just say we love someone, but help us to truly show it in our words and in our actions. Fill us anew with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, as we go out into your world this day, and maybe we'll be in a restaurant this afternoon, or maybe we'll be out visiting, and maybe this week we might be in the grocery store or wherever we may be. Lord, there's someone out there that needs your love. And help us not just to speak your words of love, but help us to show it. Help us to show it in our families, with our friends, with our church members, Lord. Fill us anew with your great gift of love, that it might overflow and spill into the lives of all people. For we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.